Isn't it? Beautiful message. How's your joy? How is your joy? You are in the Atlantic, you're swimming. And the undercurrent caught you and started to sweep you out into the ocean. And the lifeguard came and swam out there and he saved you and brought you back to the shore, so on and so forth. I doubt very much that in your mind you would be asking and wondering, was he handsome? Was he homely? Was he heavy? Was he thin? Was he muscular? Wonder what his state of mind was. Was he at peace in his mind? Was he depressed? Was he sad? Or was he happy? Or whatever. I doubt very much while you're standing there and your family comes running and you're hugging them and they're hugging you and tears are running down your cheek because he saved your life, that you would be concerned about what his mental attitude was. You would be taking joy in the fact that you had been saved from drowning. I consider the mental attitude of my Lord when he came. He came down here to this earth and emptied himself, took on himself the form of a servant, became obedient even unto death. I find in the Bible that his whole mind, his whole attitude, everything about him was filled with joy. He came joyfully. He came joyfully to save me. That's how he came. That is his attitude. And it makes a lot of difference to me to know what his attitude is and what he was willing to do and what price he was willing to pay so that I could stand before you today as a saved person because of the blood and the death of my Lord on a cross. He came with joy to glorify his Father. And in his joy, God was indeed glorified. I want you to hang on to that. I think that's very important. Because when you and I came to this element of salvation, and if you remember in Psalms 51, when David, after his period of fall had taken place, and he came before God and he said, Father, God created me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. And then he said these words, restore to me the joy of my salvation. How is your joy this morning? I said, how is your joy this morning? Does it need to be restored? You think about our text this morning and the aspects of it. Okay, I saw it. All right. I'm pressing the button. Turn it upside down? No. You press the middle button to turn it on? Okay, thank you. Now notice how he began. Peter writes, in this you greatly rejoice, even though now for a little while, if necessary, you will be distressed by various trials. Keep that in mind. That no matter what, these people, these Christians, were rejoicing and taking joy, even though now in this world, remember Jesus said, in this life you will have tribulation? Remember he said that? So that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold, which is perishable, faith, remember, the whole element of our life and our relationship with God is based on our faith and our trust in him and his promises that he's made to us, right? Being more precious than gold, which is perishable. How precious is your faith? Being more precious than gold, even though tested by fire, in other words, you will, and your faith will be tested, right? Remember what James said in chapter 1? Count it all joy. Brethren, when you fall into a diversities of trials, remember he said that? Joy, diversity, why? Because it will be for the testing and the refining of your faith. You know what he said? May be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation, the parousia of Jesus Christ, when he does indeed literally comes and we look upon him and we see him. Every eye will see him, right? All right? And though you have not seen him, you what? Remember Thomas? More blessed are you, Thomas. You believe, but you believe because you've seen me. More blessed are they who have not seen me and yet believe. That's you. That's me. Okay? You greatly rejoice with what? You greatly rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, obtaining as the outcome of your faith the salvation of your souls. There's a little chorus that goes, you know, that joy unspeakable and full of glory, full of glory. Remember that little chorus? Joy inexpressible means it's unspeakable. Only can be expressed. How do you express joy then? Well, I want you to understand something this morning, and you're listening. You don't express your joy. You express the joy that you have been filled with by the Holy Spirit. Did you hear what I just said? Listen to what the Bible will go on to say. Obtaining as the outcome of your faith, rejoicing with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Joy and glory and the aspects of it. You see, Jesus doesn't save us for ourselves, nor for our families, or for whatever. Jesus saves us for Himself. He bought us. He paid a price for us, and we belong to Him. And what Jesus wants to do this morning, and has always wanted to do, is to fill you with His joy. Are you listening to me? You cannot produce joy. You cannot. It is a fruit. It is a blessing that God gives you and gives to you as a gift at Christmas time, if you will. One of the greatest gifts He's offered to you is that you can be given and share His joy, which is unspeakable, inexpressible, and full of glory. Jesus Himself and all that God did, and every aspect of that He did, as Brother spoke about this morning, the joyful aspect of it and the reward of it is yours and it's mine. Everything He did joyfully is so that you could share in that joyfully. And you could rejoice. And Paul said rejoice, and again I say rejoice, and rejoice always. Rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord. Always rejoice. Salvation is more than just being saved. Salvation is having a personal, intimate relationship with the joy that was born and came into this world and expressed His joy, which was full of glory, that He might glorify His God, His Father, and ultimately share that joy with you and me. 1 Corinthians 1:9 tells us very clearly, God is faithful through whom you were called into fellowship with His Son, Jesus Christ the Lord. You see, having your sins forgiven and having them washed away just simply opened the door for you to walk into a fellowship with Him who is joy. The fullness of joy that you could have and share the joy of the Lord. And that joy could fill your heart and fill your life. Remember when 1 John chapter 1, John writes about He who was in the beginning, the one we heard, saw, ate with, touched, and felt. This one whom we have fellowship with, and our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And we write these so that our joy may be made complete. May be complete. Remember when Mary came to Elizabeth? Elizabeth was with child, right? With John the Baptist. And Mary comes and announced the fact that she was with child. And what happened? The Bible says, Elizabeth said, when you told me, and those ear words reached my ears, she said, behold, when the sound of your greetings reached my ears, the baby leaped in my womb for joy. How is your joy? But don't tell me babies don't hear your voice. Outside, when you're speaking and they're in the womb, because John heard Mary saying she was with child. And that child was a promise from God. Luke 2:10 states, and the angel said to them, do not be afraid. Behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which you'll be to all people. Jesus is that inexpressible, unspeakable joy. That's who He is. Okay? In John 15:11, are you listening? John 15:11. John 15:11, Jesus said, "These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full." John 17:13. John 17:13, Jesus said, "But now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy made full in themselves." You see, it isn't about you creating or having joy of yourself and in of yourself. No, it is that you've allowed the Son of God, the joy of the world, who is unexpressible, come and fill you with His joy. Got it? You got it? Okay. So Jesus glorifying and glorifying, full of glory, is that He came to show us the Father. How did He show us the Father? I believe in the capacity of His joy. It was in His capacity of joy, which is unlimited in every aspect, that He did what He did joyfully before His Father, and through that joy He glorified God. And Jesus offered Himself as that divine object of joy for your life and for my life, and to pour His joy, and today, if you will, into your hearts and into my life, so that we could have fellowship together joyfully. That when we sing joyfully. When we praise God, we do it joyfully. When we interact in any aspect of our lives, we do it joyfully, and we express and we become a reflection of that joy. When people see you and they're around you, what do you reflect? How is your joy? Jesus, for all eternity, is the mirror of God's glory. There are no F's about, and He reflected that glory by His inexpressible joy of doing the will of God. Hebrews 1, verses 8 through 9. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 8 through 9. These are the words of the writer. He says, "But of the Son, He says, 'Thy throne, O God, is forever and forever. And the righteous scepter is the scepter of His kingdom. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated lawlessness. Therefore, God, thy God, has anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy companions.'" I like that word. Jesus is gladness. Come on, smile. It's not that difficult. Jesus is gladness. The joy of the universe is Jesus Christ. The joy of your faith is Jesus Christ. His joy and His gladness is greater than all of creation and all the angels and everything else. His joy is greater than all of that. It's greater. Somehow or other, I'm not sure how, but many of us have never, ever got that simple truth that Jesus wants to fill you with His joy. You cannot produce it. Oh, you can. Happiness is all based on your circumstances. You know that? It's all based on whether everything's going good and everything's going right and everything's that. And you got money in the bank. You got this and that and everything else. And when that's all happened, you can be content and you can be happy. Baloney. Jesus said life doesn't consist in the abundance of one's possessions. Did you hear what He says? The joy of the Lord, the joy of the Lord, the aspect of being joyful is a gift from God. It isn't something you can create. It's something that you allow Him, the joy of the world, to pour into your heart and to fill you with His joy. Isn't that what you want? Isn't that what we need? You know? Jesus is the gladness. He's the joy. He always has been and always will be. And you're not going to find it somewhere else. You can't buy it. You can't do it. It is something that Jesus promised. My joy, I leave with you. My grace, I'm going to give. It's yours. It's available. You know, you have an unlimited capacity for joy, too. You understand that? Huh? I mean, how joyful can you get? Huh? You know you're unlimited in your capacity to be joyful. It really is. It's amazing how many Christians have never experienced the joy of the Lord. We talk about salvation. We talk about being saved. We may have got baptized. We may have gone into the water. We may have come up. And we may have gone and we may have all the theological thought patterns correct within our minds, and we can express everything from a biblical standpoint, but have we really allowed the Holy Spirit to pour into our lives the joy of the Lord? It's so important. It really is. Jesus conquered death for you, and He conquered it for me, and His glory is as infinite and eternal and inexpressible unspeakable joy, His gladness in the presence of the Lord. This Jesus of inexpressible joy was a man of sorrows, however, remember? Acquainted with grief. So just being and having and fulfilling and being the expression of joy doesn't mean you're not going to have sorrow, trouble. Isn't that right? I mean, did he? Now listen to it. It says, Jesus said, my soul is very sorrowful, even unto death. Remain here and watch with me and pray. Remember that? Just before He went to the cross, He asked the disciples to pray for Him. Remember that? This great high priest, this great ministry of unspeakable joy, this one who is the gladness of the world, is able only to be able to sympathize with us. Why? Because He went through everything you have to go through. And He did it joyfully. My Bible tells me that Jesus wept. Remember that? Shortest verse in the Bible. And He wept with those who wept. Right? Bible says He was hungry. Matthew 4:2. He was weary, worn out, tired, exhausted. John 4:6. He was forsaken, left all by Himself. No one was there. Matthew 26:56. He was betrayed. Somebody turned Him in, sold Him out for 30 pieces of silver, according to Matthew 26:45. He was scourged. He was beaten. He was spit on. Took the thorns and just crushed them into His skull. Blood started to well down. He was crucified. That's what it says. He was mocked. He was laughed at. He was ridiculed. He went through all that. But you know what the Bible says? How's your joy? This inexpressible, unspeakable joy doesn't mean that there won't be sorrow. There won't be heartache. There won't be difficulties. No, it doesn't mean that at all. And if you got that picture, you got the wrong one. And those evangelistic preachers out there are going to answer to God someday when they're standing up there and telling people, you send us a little seed and God will bless you and you'll be healthy, wealthy, and wise. That is a lie. That's a lie. But even Church of Christ people can swallow that one. Really can. Could Jesus be troubled? Could He have sorrow? Could He be, as it was, go through all the agonizing and all the things of betrayal and see even His disciples leaving and still be filled with joy? Could He really be that? Could He really? I mean, after all, could He deal with all that He went through and still have it and write and have people write songs of symphony that fills the world? Joy to the world! Joyful, joyful, we adore Him. I mean, how many songs have been written that express that word joy? Joy, joy, joy. Could He go through all of that and still give a world a heart and a song of joy? Could He do that? Yes, 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 He could do that. So can you. So can you. Through all the agonies of Gethsemane to the cross, Jesus was sustained. He went through it all, and He was able to go through it all because of the joy for which He was doing it. Are you listening? Hebrews 12:2. Hebrews 12:2. Listen to what the writer said. For the joy, you get it? For the joy that was set before him. He endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of God, of the throne of God. And that aspect, what sustained him, what kept him, what gave him the power and the strength to endure it all? It was joy, 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 joy that kept him. How's your joy? How are you getting through life? How are you facing your trials? How are you dealing with reality? Life is, it wakes us all up sooner or later, doesn't it? Huh? Some of us, it hits it between the eyes. How are you going to handle it all? How are you going to deal with it? How are you going to go through it? When people come and see you going through all these transitions of your life and dealing with it, the Bible, can you be and can you allow the Holy Spirit to fill you with the same basic power that filled our Lord? Can you show and can you still be joyful? That which sustained Jesus Christ was joy. Even the cross could not destroy the joy. Today, the Good Shepherd still takes joy in one sheep that turns around and comes back to the fold. Now, what it says? In fact, my Bible tells me that once one person repents and turns back to God, the heavens are filled with the joy. Angels are joyful and rejoicing over just one soul that turns around and comes back to God. You don't think God wants you to have that joy, to be filled with that joy, and that in that joy you can glorify God just like Jesus did? How are you glorifying God? The people around you, how do they see God? How do they reflect God? How are you reflecting Him? How do you handle suffering? How do you go through life? You know what Nehemiah chapter 8 verse 10 said? Nehemiah chapter 8 verse 10. The joy of the Lord is my strength. 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 What was his strength? What was Jesus' strength? What gave him the power to sustain and to maintain the element of fulfilling and glorifying God? It was joy, people. How's your joy? How is it this morning? Okay? 1 Thessalonians 1:6. 1 Thessalonians 1:6. This is what Paul said. You became imitators of the Lord, for you received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Spirit. With what? With joy of what? Of the Holy Spirit. Maybe you and I need to evaluate our lives and see if we've quenched the Holy Spirit. Maybe we've quenched Him. Maybe we've put His power out in our individual life. Maybe we've thrown so much water on Him that He's not able to manifest the fruit of the Spirit, which is love, peace, joy. Are you listening? Romans 14:17. For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Romans 14:17. What is it? Not eating and drinking and rejoicing and whatever. No, it's peace. It is joy in the Holy Spirit. Joy. Romans 15:13. Putting it together. Are you hearing it? Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace. That is my prayer, brother and sister in Christ today, as we begin to celebrate the birth of our Lord who came to do His will and do it joyfully. May the God of heaven, who sent this inexpressible, unspeakable joy into the world for you and me, may He be able to fill you with all joy and peace. Stop trying to come up with some way to manufacture joy in your life. You can't do it. You can't do it. Let God pour His joy into your heart through the Holy Spirit and let that joy become your strength. Let it become your strength. Let it become the reflection of your face and of your life and who you are as a person of God. Remember, this unspeakable, inexpressible joy is yours. It's yours. You receive it by faith. You have an unlimited capacity to receive the joy. It's there. It's a gift from God. You can have it. You can have all you want of it. You see, there's no place in the biblical text where I find that when it comes to God's gift to His people, that He puts a measuring rod on it and say, only limit 2 per customer. No, God, when He pours out His gifts, it is all yours to receive. You receive it in direct measurement of your faith. Did you hear what I just said? You receive the love of God, the peace of God, the joy of God, the hope of God. You receive it all in direct measure of how much faith you have in the God who promises it to you. I mean, that is how it's given to you. It's given to you by faith, right? Every aspect of God, because without that faith is impossible. Okay, so my question is right now, how's your joy? How's your joy? Do you want the joy the Lord has for you? Then it's up to you to put your faith, open your heart up, say maybe like David again, Lord, create in me a clean heart. Create in me a clean heart. Lord, renew a right spirit within me. Lord, renew to me the joy of my salvation. Isn't that what Peter was talking about? Isn't that what he said? This inexpressible joy, which was to the glory of God, is what? The salvation of your soul at the appearing of Jesus Christ. What gets you through this life is you believe that Jesus is coming again, that no matter what you go through down hell, hell or high water, you're keeping your joy, and your joy is what yet coming. Amen? What He's got ready for you, preparing for you, for whatever you go through down here, according to Romans 8, the present sufferings of this time is nothing in comparison to what He's laid up in store for you. Get your faith where it belongs. If you've been risen up with Christ and set your mind on things above, walk through this world, go through what you have to go through, but do it joyfully because you have something the world can never take from you. This inexpressible, unspeakable joy of the Lord, which is full of glory. So why don't we just sing and stand and sing together, joy to the world. The Lord has come, okay? We're going to start the Christmas season by being joyful. How's that? Is that okay? Is that all right? If we just start being joyful, okay? Let's sing it together.